Well, also, you know, this debate about progression-free survival versus overall survival goes throughout oncology, and a key issue is tolerability issues. And you are buying a lot of time in terms of metastasis-free survival. And to me, I mean, I know we'll talk about how you can separate out these three trials or these three agents, but more globally, even for all three of them, it looks like sort of a pretty good trade-off there in terms of the additional toxicity versus, at a minimum, a big jump in progression-free survival.
Correct. Actually, you're very right. These three drugs, generally speaking, in most patients are quite well tolerated. Still, we need to pay attention to some side effects. Apalutamide and enzalutamide penetrate the blood-brain barrier. Darolutamide doesn't. And probably it explains why we saw probably more side effects with apalutamide and enzalutamide as compared to placebo than what we saw for darolutamide, again, compared with placebo. Side effects such as intellectual fatigue is something we're seeing with the first two agents, but also sometimes some falls and fractures. Drug-drug interaction can be also some issues. For example, with enzalutamide, we see an excess in hypertension, and we don't really know what the mechanism for that is. It could actually well be that due to drug-drug interaction, anti-hypertension drugs do not do the effect we are expecting from them. So again, as a wrap-up, generally speaking, these three drugs are well tolerated. Still, darolutamide seems to be better tolerated. Again, it's not a direct comparison. It's always a comparison versus placebo, and it has its bias.
You know, it's been very interesting for me to try over these last few years to learn about fatigue with anti-androgen, at least what was initially called fatigue. And the more I talked to people, the more I got this more CNS flavor about what really is going on. So I wonder if you could maybe just, you know, kind of talk about how this all comes together in your own mind. I mean, when you meet with fellows or whatever, try to explain this phenomena, what do patients typically say to you? What do you see?
Actually, it's very variable. Some patients would have zero side effect, truly zero, that they can tell about from, say, enzalutamide or apalutamide. And obviously, this is very true with darolutamide. So no fatigue to report, no problem to concentrate, no nothing. And in most patients, of course, they would benefit regarding the anti-cancer activity. In some patients, you see either a difficulty for concentrating, memory impairments. Sometimes, you know, all patients might have a hard time finding their balance, again, because it's hard for them to concentrate on what they're doing. I remember some wife actually complaining and telling me, oh, doctor, he's really miserable. He's watching the TV all the time now. You know, so truly people losing autonomy and having a hard time concentrating on normal life, becoming much more passive. I remember another example is actually a younger guy who clearly benefited regarding his cancer. So he came back to me after a month or so and he told me, you know what, I'm very happy. It was an enzalutamide because obviously the drug you gave me works tremendously. My symptoms are out. And then he told me, he was an architect. He told me, but you know what? I'm turning stupid. I'm turning dumb. And he was, you know, smart enough to realize and to phrase it, if you will. And he could explain that in his job, he would have a hard time doing what he was doing normally.
Well, let me ask you something. Another phenomena that you observe all the time is just men starting out on androgen deprivation. I mean, do they have these same kinds of symptoms?
It's not exactly the same thing. And it's much more progressive while on androgen deprivation therapy. Actually, patients starting on ADT would probably first complain about the hot flashes and probably the sexual impairment. Sexual desire and potency. Those would be the main thing when starting androgen deprivation therapy. If there is some cognitive impairment, it will probably take years before it really happens and it has some consequences. While again, with AR antagonist, it's very rapid. Sometimes it's just a week or, you know, something like that. Sometimes, sorry, it's reversible just by dose reducing. And very often, I'm actually, you know, if I really have to start enzalutamide in a quite old gentleman, I'm starting half dose now just because of this. And then I'm trying to dose increase if I can. But if you've been starting with full doses and these patients are complaining from these side effects, then reducing, say, by half of a dose can sometimes fix the problem while keeping the efficacy. Of course, you never know whether the efficacy would be exactly what it would have been, but it seems to work, let's say.
I was going to ask you that. What about with anti-androgens in terms of, I don't know, the dose response curve? Like, theoretically, do you think it would compromise activity?
Yeah, it's not sure, actually. In all phase one trials, we saw efficacy at very low doses. And actually, the dose was picked up not because, at least in some cases, not based on toxicity, but more based on PKs. So again, to address your question, even low dose can work. Now, whether they work with the exact same effect as higher doses, of course, we don't know because we don't have randomized data. And you would need randomized data to make sure.